Okay, every Shabbat I teach on the Torah tidbits and then also on the Torah itself. At least I have for the last 3 or 4 years, and started with, of course, Genesis and then all the other books. And we're now in Devarim, but those teachings are too long, so we don't record those particular ones. But in the afternoon, I usually go with something from the Apostolic Scriptures. In this case, it's Ephesians 4. And verse 1 says, "Therefore, the prisoner of Yahweh, I beseech you that you walk worthily of the vocation wherewith you are called." Here Paul, who claims to be a prisoner of Yahweh, which means that he is totally surrendered to Yahweh and all his ways, is speaking to believers, and he says, "I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." What is the vocation that believers are called to? Matthew 6:33, "Seek you first the kingdom of Elohim, and all these other things shall be added unto you." How are believers supposed to seek the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness? Well, verse 2, "With all lowliness, meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Can any of you tell me what Paul is saying here, or what does he mean? Do you understand what he is telling us to do? Let's begin with what you have experienced with most church leaders, or those of the hierarchy of the Christian and or Catholic churches that you have been exposed to. Would you say that in general, the leadership that you have encountered in any of the Christian and or Catholic churches of today, from the pastors or priests to the hierarchy of the church and or synagogues, are lowly, meek, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep unity in the Holy Spirit in the bond of peace? Before you answer that question, you have to keep in mind what is said in Scripture in Ezekiel 36, 26, 27, which is that the Father's Holy Spirit was given to all believers for the very specific purpose of causing of each and every one of them to believe, follow, and obey the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father that Yahweh gave to Moshe at Mount Sinai. Based on this scriptural truth that the Torah was given indeed to us by Yahweh to cause every person to willingly and lovingly obey the Father's Torah of life, would you say that your personal experience with the Christian or Catholic churches and or the synagogue leadership of today does in any way at all even remotely represent these qualities? If you are not finding these qualities that Paul admonishes all believers to have, then maybe it's time for you to look to a group that at least displays some of these highly sought after characteristics in order to become a full prisoner of Yahweh, as Paul claims to be, that we are to be. How many church and synagogue denominational leaders and teachers claim that there is one law for the Christians and a separate law for the Jews? I would venture to say that most of them actually believe that there are indeed two separate Torahs, one for the Jews and one for the Christians. Yet Paul, the apostle to the converted Gentiles, emphatically states that there is one body, one Holy Spirit, and therefore there's only one law, one Torah, given to us by Yahweh. And furthermore, according to Scripture, not according to me, our Heavenly Father fills every believer with his Holy Spirit, who is tasked with causing every willing, surrendered, contrite heart that will allow him to believe, follow, and obey all the words of our Heavenly Father's inerrant, everlasting teachings and instructions, his one and only Torah of life. Verse 4 says, "One body, one Spirit, even as you are called in, one hope of your calling, one Adonai, one belief, one baptism." That isn't a second baptism in the Holy Spirit, only one baptism, one Elohim and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Paul has made it abundantly clear in these verses, as well as in many other places in his letters, that our Heavenly Father has but one family, and that family is the family of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, also called Israel. And even if you know nothing of the Torah or the word of Elohim, Scripture is still very clear that if Elohim only has one family, then there can be only one law. Verse 7, but unto everyone of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Messiah. I hope that you can see and understand what Paul is telling us here. Paul says that to every one of us, grace is given according to the measure of the gift of Messiah. That means that since Messiah, the Lamb of Elohim, was slain from the beginning of time, that the grace of Elohim has also been given, been with us from the very beginning of time. Therefore, that means that every person that has ever been born has been given the grace of Elohim through his living word made flesh, our Messiah. There are no different levels of Elohim's grace. There is only one level of his grace given to us by Elohim himself. And that level of grace, my friends, never, ever, ever, ever changes. For it is his infinite grace, and nothing can be added to something that is already infinite. It is important that you believe and accept this very, very profound statement, for it is the foundation premise upon which our Heavenly Father's inerrant everlasting teachings and instructions, the words of his Torah of life, is based on. And that fact needs to be truly understood, accepted, and internalized, because it shows us that Elohim has no partiality and that he loves absolutely everyone with the very same kind and infinite love. What we have to understand is that Messiah is the living word of Elohim made flesh. Messiah is the living Torah in the flesh. And therefore, the phrase, the gift of Messiah, is synonymous with the phrase, the gift of the Torah, our Heavenly Father's inerrant and everlasting teachings and instructions, his directives for everlasting life. Verse 8, therefore, says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he has ascended, what is it but that he also descended first unto the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same that also ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Here Paul is quoting Psalm 63:18, and thereby telling us that Messiah descended into the lower parts of the earth to free those that were captured. But instead of setting them free and on their own, he drew them to himself and took their burdens upon himself. And instead of them receiving pain and suffering, he offered them gifts. Please understand that all of the gifts that Messiah gives to people are contained in the Father's Torah. For Messiah is the Father's living Torah made flesh. Paul goes on to say that Messiah not only descended into the depths of the earth, but that he also ascended up far above all the heavens, so that he, as the words of the living Torah, might fulfill all things. This reminds me of the verse in Matthew 6:33, where it says, but seek you first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. What are all these other things that he fulfilled? Deuteronomy 28:1-14. And it shall come to pass that if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that Yahweh Elohim shall set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if and only if you shall hearken, Shema, unto the voice of Yahweh your Elohim. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. Blessed shall be the fruit of your ground. Blessed shall be the fruit of your cattle. Blessed shall be the increase of your kine. Blessed shall be the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. Yahweh shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come against you one way, and they shall flee from you seven ways. Yahweh shall command a blessing upon you and your storehouses. Yahweh shall command a blessing upon all that you set your hand to. Yahweh shall bless you in the land which Yahweh your Elohim gives you. Yahweh shall establish you as a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto you. If you shall keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim and walk in his ways, his Torah, and all people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of Yahweh. And what are they going to be? It says, and they shall be afraid of you. When you walk in Torah, they'll be afraid of you. And Yahweh shall make you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of your ground, in the land which Yahweh swore unto your fathers, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, to give you. Yahweh shall open unto you his good treasures, the heavens, to give you the rain unto your land in his season, to bless all the work of your hands, and you shall lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow. You won't need to borrow, because everything else Yahweh will provide. And Yahweh shall make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only, and you shall not, I repeat, you shall not be beneath. If, again the big word, if you hearken, willingly choose to Shema unto the commandments of Yahweh Elohim, which I command you this day, to observe and to do them. And you shall not go aside from any, not even one jot or tittle of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after the gods of others, to serve them. These blessings, my friends, are but part of the gifts that we will receive from Yahweh. Verse 11 goes on to say, we are told of the ministries that Messiah gave to establish and that he taught his disciples how to carry them out according to Scripture. Verse 11, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, and some as teachers. These are but a few of the gifts that Messiah gave to his people. We have to understand that Elohim is omnipotent, and he could have quite easily done all of this work by himself. But he chose to involve his creation, his people, as his vessels to teach a world that is mired in darkness, that he is the light that we are to all, that we are all to follow. He is the living word, the living Torah of the Father made flesh. What will this living word made flesh do for the people if they willingly choose to obey and follow his example and his leadership? Verse 12 says, it will perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. Perfect the saints for the edifying of the body of Messiah. How long will these ministries or gifts last? They will last until we all come in unity of the one belief, one faith, one Torah. Until we all come in unity of the knowledge of the Son of Elohim, the words of the living Torah made flesh. Until we all come in unity unto the perfect mature man. Until we all come in unity unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Messiah. Here in these verses, Paul tells us that if we willingly and lovingly surrender our wills to our Heavenly Father and commit to believe, follow, and obey all the words of our Heavenly Father's inerrant and everlasting teachings and instructions, the words of his Torah of life, which became flesh and dwelt among us, as best we can, then it will perfect us for the work of the ministry and for the edifying or teaching of the body of Messiah, those that have willingly chosen to surrender their hearts, minds, souls, and strength to our Heavenly Father. Furthermore, Paul tells us that these gifts or ministries will be with us until we are united in one belief, the belief that the only begotten Son of Elohim, the words of the Father's Torah made flesh, is our Redeemer and Savior, and that the Torah obedient life that he led while he was here on earth with us is what we are to emulate and follow if we want to experience eternal life at his side as his bride. What is the fullness of Messiah that we are to measure up to? Well, we are told that Messiah was the spotless Lamb of Elohim. To be declared the spotless Lamb of Elohim means that Messiah did not sin. And Scripture very clearly states in 1 John 3:4 that sin is transgression of the Torah. Therefore, the fullness of Messiah is his totally surrendered Torah obedient life that he led while he was here on earth with us. For had he not obeyed the Torah perfectly, he would not have been our Heavenly Father's spotless Lamb. What Paul is telling us, therefore, is that we are to emulate Messiah. We are to follow in his Torah obedient footsteps, as John admonished us to do in 1 John 2:6, where he says, he that says he abides in Messiah ought himself also to walk, even as he, Messiah, walked. And his Scripture emphatically states that Messiah, the Lamb of Elohim, was sinless, which means that he walked in total loving surrender and obedience to all the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah of life, the Torah that Yahweh gave to Moshe at Mount Sinai. Verse 14 says that we henceforth be no more children, lack maturity, perfection, tossed to and fro and carried about with every mind of man-made doctrines by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Here Paul is admonishing all of us not to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine by the sleight or teachings of men. It is quite evident that Paul is telling us to beware of the ever-changing values of the doctrine of men. And although it is not said here in these verses, Paul is admonishing us to follow the doctrine of Messiah. For Paul knows that that John said in 2 John 1, 7-11, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who do not confess, believe that Messiah, that Yeshua Messiah is come in the flesh." These persons are what? They are deceivers and they are anti-messiahs. Look at to yourselves. In other words, beware that we do not lose those things which we have wrought, worked for, but that we receive a full reward. And that full reward, my friends, is salvation. Whosoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Messiah does not have Elohim. Listen to that again. Whosoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Messiah does not have Elohim. However, he that does abide in the doctrine of Messiah, he has both the Father and the Son. Now, if there come any unto you, and they do not bring the doctrine of Messiah, then do not receive him into your house, neither bid him Elohim speed. For he that bids him Elohim speed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Now that we know that Paul is admonishing all of us to believe, follow, and obey the doctrine of Messiah, it should be very important for us to know what the doctrine of Messiah actually is. In John 7:16, Messiah says, "My doctrine is not my own, but it is the doctrine of the one that sent me." As you know, or as you can see for yourself, the doctrine of Messiah is the Father's doctrine. For it is our Heavenly Father that sent Messiah to earth and to do the work of the Father. Well, now that we know that the doctrine of Messiah is the very same doctrine as the Father's doctrine, it is therefore very important for us to know what the doctrine of our Heavenly Father is in order for us to understand what Messiah and Paul are actually telling us in these verses. Proverbs 4:2, "For I give you good doctrine. Do not, I repeat, do not forsake my Torah." Proverbs 3:1-2, "My son, do not forget my Torah, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you." If Messiah's doctrine is the very same doctrine as the one that sent him, and the one that sent him is our Heavenly Father, then it means that the doctrine of our Heavenly Father is the doctrine of Messiah. And as you can see for yourself, Scripture quite clearly states that the doctrine of the Father is his inerrant everlasting teachings and instructions, the words of his Torah of life. Paul has just admonished the Ephesians and us not to allow ourselves to be deceived by the doctrine of men. And here Paul tells them and us that we should instead speak the truth. Speaking the truth means speaking the words of the Father's inerrant and everlasting teachings and instructions, his Torah, his directives for everlasting life. Verse 15 says, "But speaking the truth in love, as I have said above in Scripture," the word truth is synonymous with the word Torah. And we see that in Psalm 119, 142, where it says, "Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your Torah is the truth." Why are we to speak the truth? We are to speak the truth so that we may grow up into him in all things, who is the head, even Messiah. Paul says that we are to speak the words of truth, which of course means that we are to speak the words of our Father's Torah of life, and we are to speak it in love so that we may grow up, or better yet, so that we may mature in Messiah, which means grow or mature in the knowledge of him who is the words of the living Torah made flesh. Paul goes on to say that the Torah made flesh, Messiah, is the head, the leader, the preeminent one. We have to understand that when something or someone is described as the head, then it means that we are to look towards it, towards the head, in order that we can get all of our instructions from the head or leader or preeminent one. Therefore, Since Messiah is, of course, the head, the leader, the preeminent one, and since he is the words of the living Torah made flesh, then the only conclusion that we can arrive at, according to Scripture, is that Paul is telling us to look to the Torah of our Heavenly Father that Yahweh gave to Moshe at Mount Sinai in order that to get all of our instructions on how we are to live our daily lives. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Here Paul is telling us that if we, as the body of Messiah, actually choose to look to the head, the Torah of Moshe made flesh, and follow his example as the Father laid it out for him in the words of his Torah of life, as Messiah did and admonished us to do, then the body of believers will increase because of the love that we will be displaying for each other and for the world. For in essence, we will be mimicking Elohim, and Scripture describes Elohim this way, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, the words of the living Torah made flesh, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. When the body of Messiah is in that state of mind, a state of mind that loves the world as our Heavenly Father loves the world, Paul tells us that the body will then edify or instruct itself and all others in the ways and words of Messiah. And the ways of Messiah, my friends, are a totally Torah surrendered obedient life that is fully surrendered in obedience to our Heavenly Father. Verse 17, this I say therefore, and testify in Yahweh, that you henceforth no longer walk as Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. I have mentioned this many, many times before, but once a person becomes a true believer in the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and his words made flesh, his son, our Messiah, then that person is no longer a Gentile. And therefore, they should never again refer to themselves as Gentiles. For a Gentile, according to Ephesians 2:11, is this. Wherefore, remember that you in times past, being Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Messiah, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope whatsoever, without Elohim in the world. But now, in Messiah, the words of the living Torah, Yeshua, you who were sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood, the life of Messiah. As you can see, calling yourself a Gentile is definitely not what you want to do. And Paul admonishes us to no longer walk as we used to walk when we were Gentiles. And that means that we are no longer to walk in the vanity of our minds. In other words, we're no longer to walk in and or by our own strength, our own finite understanding. But we are to walk as Messiah taught us to walk, in total loving surrender obedience to all the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah of life. Furthermore, Paul goes on to tell us in his letter to the Ephesians in verse 18 that the Gentiles have their understanding darkened. Why is their understanding darkened? It is darkened because they are alienated from the life of Elohim through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. What does Paul mean when he uses the term the blindness of their heart? What are their hearts blind to? Their hearts are blind to the words of the inerrant and everlasting teachings and instructions of our Heavenly Father, the words of his Torah of life, his everlasting word. Psalm 119:89, it says, forever, O Yahweh, your word is established or settled in heaven. What have these Gentiles who are blind to the inerrant and everlasting word of Elohim done according to Paul? Verse 19, he tells us what it is. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Paul tells us here in this verse that the character of the people that are blind and who willingly choose to ignore Yahweh and his inerrant and everlasting word, his Torah of life, that their character is an unclean and greedy character that is filled with lasciviousness. Next, Paul describes a group of people that have actually learned the message that Messiah came to preach. For Paul says that they have learned Messiah. What does Paul mean when he says they have learned Messiah? Well, since we have established that Messiah is the words of Elohim, his inerrant and everlasting teachings and instruction, his Torah of life made flesh, then that means that to learn Messiah means that they have learned to internalize and put our Heavenly Father's inerrant and everlasting teachings and instruction, the words of his Torah of life, into practice in their own daily routine. Verse 20, but you, meaning the believing Ephesians, and us, of course, have not so learned Messiah. In other words, these Ephesians' character and your character are not unclean and greedy, nor are they filled with lasciviousness. There is a conclusion, there is a condition that one must meet so that these Ephesians' character and our characters are not unclean and greedy, nor filled with lasciviousness. Verse 21, if so be that you have heard Messiah. The word hear or heard in Hebrew is the word Shema, which means to hear, listen, pay very close attention to, understand, believe, follow, and obey what Yahweh has commanded you to do. Therefore, that means that we are to hear, we are to Shema what Messiah taught us. And Scripture makes it very clear that Messiah taught us to lead a totally surrendered Torah obedient life, as he has totally surrendered, as he was totally surrendered and obedient to our Heavenly Father's Torah of life. Messiah understood that to show love for the Father meant to keep his commandments, his Torah. And he instructed us to do the same when he said in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And John 15, 10, where Messiah says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I keep my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And as Messiah says in John 7, 16, my doctrine, my commandments are not my own. They are the Father's doctrine, the Father's commandments. He goes on to say, you have been taught by him. How have we been taught by him? Messiah taught us by setting an example for us for us of the perfect Torah obedient life that he willingly and lovingly chose to live when he was here on earth with us. As it is says in Romans 10:4, Messiah is the goal of the Torah for righteousness to everyone that believes. Paul is telling us in Romans that the life that Messiah lived while he was here on earth is the goal that every believer should aspire to attain. And that goal, my friends, is that we are to live a Torah obedient life in the same manner that our Messiah lived a totally submitted Torah obedient life to the Father all the days that he was here on earth with us. As the truth is in Yeshua, Scripture tells us that Messiah is the Word of Elohim made flesh. And it also tells us that the word of Elohim is truth, and that the truth is our Heavenly Father's Torah, his inerrant and everlasting teachings and instructions, his directives for everlasting life made flesh. Therefore, truth and the word of Elohim and Messiah are all synonymous terms. They are all one and the same. Verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversations, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. This is another reason why a believer should never call himself a Gentile. For we have to understand that being a Gentile was our former condition. But now we have put off the old man, our former condition, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after Elohim is created in righteousness and true holiness. Paul is telling us to put off the old man and be renewed in and by the spirit of our mind, which of course is influenced by the Holy Spirit of Elohim, who according to Ezekiel 36:27 is given to every believer when they willingly choose to surrender their hearts, minds, souls, and strength to our Heavenly Father. And the Holy Spirit of Elohim is given to us with the very specific instructions of causing every believer who continues to willingly surrender his will to the Father to walk out the righteousness of Yahweh contained in the words of his inerrant and everlasting teachings and instruction, his Torah of life. Furthermore, when we learn to willingly and lovingly walk out the Torah of Yahweh by allowing Elohim's Holy Spirit, whom Yahweh has so graciously put within us, to cause us to do so, then we become holy as he is holy. And that happens because when we walk in Torah, we are walking in true holiness. And that true holiness is Yahweh's inerrant and everlasting teachings and instructions, the Father's directives for everlasting life. Verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth, Torah, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Paul quite clearly tells every believer to put away lying and speak the truth to his neighbor. Now, this is a lot more profound statement than you have probably imagined or understood at first glance. Let me explain what I mean. In Scripture, we are told in Psalm 119:142 that the Torah is truth. In Psalm 119:151, we are told that the truth is the commandments of Elohim. In Psalm 119:160, it says, "Your word is true from the beginning, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." In John 17:17, we are told that the truth is the word of Elohim. In Ephesians 1:13, we are told that the gospel is the truth. Therefore, we must conclude that the truth is all of the above-mentioned terms. The truth is the word of Elohim. It is the Torah of Moshe, the law. It is the commandments of Elohim, and it is the gospel of Messiah. Therefore, when Paul says, put away lying and speak every man truth, he is commanding us to put away lies and let every man speak Yahweh's inerrant and everlasting teachings and instructions, his Torah of life. And to do that, we all have to learn to internalize the words of Heavenly Father's Torah of life. Now, it is very important that we understand and accept these truths, because what Paul is telling us is that anything that does not align itself with all of the commandments of the Father, the word of his Torah, or the gospel of Messiah, which of course is the same as the doctrine of our Heavenly Father, is a lie. Now, I want you to take a moment and think of the doctrines of any and of all the religions of the world that you have been exposed to in the past. And I want to pose you a question about these man-made doctrines. Would you say that any of them align themselves to the truth, the Torah of Elohim, or do they mostly make up their own truths? Let me give you an example that will give you a very concrete meaning of the word truth. In Scripture, in Luke 8:11, Messiah tells us that the word seed used is the parable of the sower, the word of Elohim. He says that the field is the world. And in Matthew 13:37, we are told that the sower of the seed is Messiah. We are also told in John 1:1-2 and 14 that the word of Elohim is Elohim, and the word of Elohim created all things, and that same word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now let me ask you a question. In creation, are there any lies? If you plant an apple seed, what will grow from that seed? You can rest assured that an apple tree will grow from the apple seed every time. The same is true of any seed, regardless of what that seed is, whether it's an animal, vegetable, or human. It will always produce the truth that is within that seed. This simply confirms to me that there is no lie in the creation, for it was created by the word of Elohim, which is truth. The only way that we can get something different than the truth, which is embedded in every seed, is if mankind genetically modifies and or manipulates it somehow. And that is, as I said, is the work of man and not the work of Elohim. Now, I want you to get a picture in your mind of Messiah standing in a field with a sack of seeds slung over his shoulder. And picture him taking the seed that our Heavenly Father provided him, which according to Scripture is the Father's word, and he plants them in the field, the world. And let's apply the very same principle of truth that we discussed above and see what happens. Let's assume that Messiah planted the words or the seeds called forever and everlasting, and see what grows out of those seeds. Let's look at Vayikra Leviticus 16:29. "And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be the one of your own country or a stranger that sojourns among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all of your sins before Yahweh. It shall be a Shabbat of rest unto you, and you shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. And the priest whom he shall anoint and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead shall make the atonement and shall put on the linen clothes even the holy garments, and he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation, and for the altar, and he shall make an atonement for the priests, and for all the people of the congregation. And this shall be what? An everlasting statute unto you, to make an atonement for the children of Israel, for all their sins once a year. And he did as Yahweh commanded Moshe. In these verses, we can see that Messiah, the word of Elohim, made flesh, planted the seed called forever. Now, how can we prove that the seed forever will actually grow the fruit that is called forever? What we have to do to prove it for ourselves is go to the scriptures and let the scriptures show us the truth. Now, please remember that we are told in scripture, in the parable of the sower, that the seed is the word of Elohim. And in Psalms, we are told that the word of Elohim is forever. Psalm 111:7-8, the works of his hands and verity are verity and judgment, and all his commandments are sure. Verse 8, and they stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. Psalm 119:44, so shall I keep your Torah continually forever and ever. 119:89, forever, O Yahweh, your word is settled in heaven. 119:152, concerning your testimonies, your Torah, I have known of old that you have founded them for how long? Forever. Psalm 119:160, your word is true from the beginning, and every one of your righteous judgments endures for how long? Forever. Now please picture Messiah taking the seed of the word that is called forever and planting it in the ground. According to the truth of Elohim, his creation does not lie. Therefore, what do you suppose we can expect will grow from the seed called forever? Well, since truth is eternal and cannot be changed, for if it is changed in any way, it is no longer the truth. There should be absolutely no doubt in our mind that when we plant a seed called forever, it will always grow the very same fruit. It will grow the forever fruit because we planted a seed, the word of Elohim, that is called forever. Therefore, according to the absolute truth of creation, which states that like kind begets like kind, the only thing that can come out of the seed, the word called forever, is a fruit called forever. Now, next time you read the scriptures, please keep in mind that the word of Elohim is truth, and that the truth cannot and does not change, for it is eternal. Think of the implications of this statement, that the truth cannot and does not change, for it is eternal. Let me tell you this. If you could actually believe as I do, and the scriptures quite clearly teaches us that every word of Elohim is truth and that it lasts forever, it would absolutely change your understanding of all scripture reading. It would change how you live your life, and especially change how you look at the man-made teachings and or doctrines of the church fathers of yesterday and today. Therefore, to prove this to ourselves, the test that we should do in our minds is plant the seed that we are investigating and know without a shadow of a doubt that if we plant the seed or the word of Elohim in our field, in our world, the only possible thing that we can grow from that seed is truth, for truth never ever changes. Now I have shown you all of this so that you will know and understand that if a word, an instruction, a teaching, a doctrine, a philosophy does not line up with the Father's inerrant and everlasting teachings and instructions, his Torah of life, then it is a lie. It may have elements of truth within it to lure you or to lure us in, but its true essence is lies and falsehoods. It is a trap to lead us astray from the true word of Elohim. I told you above that the only way that the truth is a seed can produce something that appears to be the truth and yet not be the truth is that seed is genetically modified or manipulated somehow. These genetic modifications or the seed manipulations are called the doctrines of man, which is found in all religions, all man-made religions, for all religions are man-made. Now, please take the time to go through all the doctrines of all the man-made religions that you have been exposed to in the past and see for yourself what will grow from those doctrines. You can rest assured that it will not be the word nor the truth of Elohim. Truth, my friends, the word or the seed of Elohim will always, always, always produce truth. However, the word, the seed, and or the doctrine of man, on the other hand, will always produce lies. They may appear to be an element of truth in it, but its essence is a lie, nevertheless. Verse 26, be you angry and do not sin. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Paul is telling us that it is acceptable to have righteous anger. But we are also told before the sun goes down, on the day that we experience this anger, we are to learn to forgive. Verse 27, neither give in to the devil and his temptations. This is exactly what James tells us in James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to Elohim, resist the devil, and he and evil will actually flee from you. Let him that stole steal no more. Obey Yahweh's word. Rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, Torah. In other words, let him function in the manner that Yahweh wanted him to function. Why? So that he may have something to give to him that is in need. Elohim loves a cheerful giver or a cheerful giving heart. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Let only communication which is good to the use of edifying come out of your mouth, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of Elohim, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be you kind one to another and tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as Elohim for Messiah's sake has forgiven you. This, my friends, is the life that Yahweh wants for each and every believer. Therefore, I admonish all of us to take the time to go over this list very, very carefully and see if there's any areas where we fall short in, and then pray to Elohim that he would through and by his grace and mercy help us to make the necessary changes in order that we can return to his ways and walk with him in the cool of the day. Amen. Any thoughts or comments from anyone?